We're starting in, we're again in the middle of Emunah and Bitachon, and that's going to bring us into a little bit of Purim, into the elements of Emunah and Bitachon. Purim is certainly a holiday that's associated with Bitachon. We said last time that Bitachon is not just simply trust, and it's not just simply practical Emunah, but we said Bitachon is the element that tells us that Hashem loves me, and that He wants me to get close to Him. That's what we said about Bitachon, was you feel this sense of closeness that you have to Hashem. That's how we defined Bitachon last week, according to Nesiva Shalom. And certainly into the world of Purim, where you have someone such as Mordechai, who is certain what the outcome of the entire events are going to be. Nobody else has a clue, or they're in tremendous fear. Mordechai is the only one that is certain. If you follow this path, everything will be fine. And it's a tremendous message of Bitachon. When you compare it to Hanukkah, you don't have that. Hanukkah is the story of them fighting for survival. And here you have one man, the man who's not bowing down to Haman, the man who's not giving in to anything. He's telling Esther, just do this, do this, do this, because everything will be fine. Famous line in the Megillah, Revach v'atzal abav makamacher, if you don't choose to be the one to be a savior, no problem. Hashem will just flick you away, He'll find somebody else. Which means that if you look throughout the entire Megillah of the Purim story, Mordechai is determined and he's not going to be swayed. He has tremendous trust in Hashem that everything is going to work out. That's an underlying theme that goes throughout the whole story, and that's something that has to be infused within us, is this element that I am certain that things are going to work out. That was Mordechai's level of bitachon. We're going to see a little bit more about that tonight. So the Nesiv Hashem tells us in this idea of bitachon, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Habotech b'Hashem chesed yisovavenu." If a person trusts within Hashem, he will be surrounded by chesed, kindness. How else you translate chesed? Kindness. Yeah, good enough for us. Generosity, kindness. Yeah, I'll take it. Generosity, kindness. Top two. Fine. So, what does it mean that when you trust Hashem, or you love Hashem, however you're going to see it, what does it mean that therefore Hashem is going to do chesed to you? How does that actually work, right? Again, if I trust you that, you know, you're going to, whatever, give a cup of coffee, does that mean you're going to continue doing chesed for me the rest of the day? My trust in you is going to develop this? So this is the question I ask. Why is it that King David tells us in Tehillim, this element of bitachon, who says that for sure Hashem is going to save me? Who says? Just, I trust He's going to save me. So what? That's very nice that you trust. Why is that actually going to happen? Maybe it's not going to happen to you. We know this by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was concerned that perhaps his sins caused him to not be worthy of salvation when he was about to go against Esav. So most of us have this. Nobody's certain that they're going to have this tremendous salvation happen to them. So why is it that King David tells us, Habotech b'Hashem chesed yisov avenu? If you trust in Hashem, you'll be surrounded by chesed, of nothing to worry about.
Doesn't Hashem mirror your way?
So that is what he's going to quote later from the Baal Shem Tov. He's going to mirror that, but so how does that work? Why does that work? Like, great, so I trust in Hashem, He's going to do back for me. Why? Maybe you're wrong. Right? How many times have you been certain you trust in Hashem and that it didn't work out? You ever buy a lottery ticket?
Couple times.
This time.
Not that kind of trust.
This time. No, I'm telling you. Because I opened up, you know, a box of Rice Krispies and I saw the code on it and I knew this was going to be my lottery, you know? You know, like, so like, when you're buying it, do you have in mind you're going to win? So Telly will say, not really. You know, in mind you're going to, no. And guess what happened? You've proved it each time.
Yeah.
Right?
Hashem make
sense. Yeah, I have full trust. Yeah, full trust in Hashem.
Here's up this $2 willing.
All right. I tell you a story once. I said it before, but for the one or two that haven't heard the story. Years ago when I went to a conference and they were raffling off a car. Like 50,000 people in the conference. Remember the story? Yeah?
No, I just...
Nope.
Well, you were at the same conference? You won the car?
No.
You won it?
I can't believe it. You already said that.
I said it already, right? I said it years ago. I said it in the old house, okay? So... they had this conference, and I was learning about the manifestation, whatever, all these things, and I just said, like, oh, I'm winning this, and I just kept envisioning myself winning the entire car, and, like, this is going to be great. I'm watching myself walk down the aisle, and, you know, just like, you know, thank you very much, you know, like the guy with the yarmulke and 50,000 non-Jews, whatever, and this is, so I can feel it. I don't even need this car, but what I want it, you know, And I just kept envisioning it, closing my eyes, smiling. It was like a 15-minute ordeal. My lips were hurting, right? And it, finally, they called out the name, and it wasn't mine. And like, I'm like, obviously, I read it wrong. They're going to reread it again. and then they called out the name. And they read it again, whatever. It still wasn't me. And I was smiling. I was so happy. I said, wow, I just won the car. I didn't walk down because that would have been ridiculous. But I felt like Hashem took care of me and I won that car. Like I felt the closeness that I was supposed to develop there. The closeness that I was supposed to develop was a love for Hashem. That's how much He loves me there. Not that I was actually winning the car. Now you're wondering, that sounds ridiculous. It's written all over your face. Yeah. Right? I felt an entirely different experience. I had the connection with Hashem at that moment that I won the car, even though I didn't walk away with any keys or four wheels. I didn't have it. And there was something that was like a very powerful experience of that connection that was built there and that bitachon that I created within myself to have that trust with Hashem. No car, just bitachon. I was very happy. I might have even been happier than the guy who won the car.
Did the car blow up or something?
No, nothing bad happened. No, like we always think, right? You always think, when you miss that flight, must be there's a bomb on the plane.
Right.
Why else would Hashem do it to me? Right? Right? Usually. Yeah. And then it lands, you go, ah. Quickly, you get up the plane, you check on it. Nothing. What was that
landed,
about?
Landed okay.
Must be someone else, you know? That's what everyone's thinking, you know? Like, it must be a reason, right? We can't think of how I should condemn
it. Why'd you do that?
Got the other end.
Well, what do you mean? You told her we have to start spilling.
What happened?
We have a teaspoon.
I said, Papa made you, I mean, Nilla Papa makes you always coffee.
Mm-hmm.
She was flesh. She took a sip of coffee.
Ah.
Wash it down with tea.
And she did.
And then she burnt her mouth. So what the Nesiv HaShem says as follows. The whole idea of bitachon, the concept of it means that a person trusts in Hashem to the extent that I trust in you, that you'll do things for me, even though I'm not worthy. And we saw this a little bit last week. I'm not worthy that you're there to save me. Rather, because of the fact that I trust in you, like Tali wanted to say, Hashem is going to continue the salvation. It has nothing to do with me. It just simply has to do with your abilities. And as long as I align myself with you and I associate myself with you, therefore that gives the right for Hashem to actually save me. Not right, but it gives him, we'll call it almost a desire to save me, even though I'm not worthy at all. So this is where we got stuck last week, where we mentioned a little bit, but this is the same idea that we're repeating over here. And that is, it's not related to how much you are worthy of anything. You could be a terrible person. If you trust in Hashem, He will be able to do things for you. So that means even people that are bad people, we're not looking at ourselves, we're saying even people that are actually bad people, but they trust that Hashem is going to do things, they will have things come to them. It's that level of connecting yourself to the ultimate source. So we don't say, oh, he's religious, he's not religious. We don't say, oh, he's a tzaddik, he's not a tzaddik, or she is, she's not. We actually look to the way that you actually extend yourself out to the relationship of Hashem. You recognize He's the source of all good, even though you may not be, and therefore He can give you good. Now, as we said earlier today, that growing up, we didn't necessarily get that. We got things that said, you're a failure. You're not going to accomplish. There are things, if you keep doing this, you'll be in prison, you'll be on the streets, you do all these things, you have to do it. So inherently, we learn things about ourselves that I'm not capable, and that doesn't matter. It's still okay. Bitachon doesn't actually take that away, because bitachon means even though I'm not worthy, even though I'm not good, I'm not capable, I'm not anything, Hashem can still actually save me. And in zechus, in the merit of bitachon, that's how salvation actually comes. So when we quoted this verse, the verse told us over here, habotech b'Hashem, someone who trusts Hashem, he'll be surrounded by chesed. It's not because you're worthy of chesed, it's just simply because of the fact that you have the merit of bitachon that surrounds you. And in Uvol Etzion, in our daily davening, we say, "Bitchu b'Hashem ad ki b'kashem tzur alamim." If you should always have trust in Hashem for continuity, for a continuum, because He's the one who creates everything. And the Gemara learns from that, anyone who puts their trust in Hashem, Hashem is going to protect that person. You'll have divine protection. Now, this is an area that we struggle with because of the fact that we think that Hashem helping us is all related, commensurate to the way that I do things for Hashem. Because when you live under the world of conditional love means if you do something, you're good, right? You got 100 on your test, you're so smart, right? you are so good at this, therefore you're great. Now, conditional love is important for certain aspects of our lives. We need it to show that we have competence in things. Like you said, if everyone just said you're great at everything, but you're really terrible at things, you're not going to learn how competent you are. Nonetheless, conditional love, if we only have conditional love without unconditional love, then a person can never feel like they can ever accomplish, because it's always going to be an assessment-based love that a person has. And we can't live that way. So therefore, you always have to infuse people with unconditional love. That is the idea of being a Tzelem Elokim, being created in the image of God, that you have an unconditional love that always comes from Hashem. So it's not based on what you accomplish and how you feel about yourself. But we will see, if you feel negatively about yourself, likely what's going to happen is you'll feel that Hashem is not going to help you because you feel so down about yourself. And we feel that sense of depression about yourself. You can't see Hashem as a savior. If you go, why would he care about me? Why would Hashem do this for me? I'm such a this. I'm such a failure. The Ramban writes that in another verse in Tehillim, Tehillim is filled with many of these verses that talk about trust that we have in Hashem. He says, "Af al pi shein biyadcha maisim," even if you have no good deeds, and you believe in yourself that you are a rasha, you're a wicked person, but if nonetheless you trust in Hashem, Hashem will help you because he's the one that has total compassion. So when you're sitting at the Seder and you say, there's the Chacham, the wise son, there's the Rasha, you might be saying, who's the Rasha? So sometimes you can stop for yourself and go, sometimes I feel like it's me, right? Sometimes I feel like it's me that, you know, I'm just, there are certain areas that I'm just failure at and I'm not good at and I'm a Rasha in certain things. And we know in Torah, you could be a Rasha in a particular area, you know. You can have people that, let's make it easier on you, so it's palpable. You can have people that are doing many mitzvahs, give a lot of tzedakah, and they're violating a white-collar crime, yeah? You can have people that are doing other things. They're doing a lot of chesed, they do a lot of tzedakah, and they don't keep, kosher, Shabbos, whatever. So there could be one mitzvah that you're a Rasha in. It could be, you can be a Rasha in a particular area. So when you're sitting at the seder, you're like, the Rasha, he's not invited here. It's every one of us, right? We could be a Rasha in at any particular moment in time. Nonetheless, you trust within Hashem, Hashem can actually save you. That's what the real bitachon over here we're looking at is, because it's about the love that you have for Hashem. So now it's going to develop now from love into the aspect that Hashem does it, even though I'm not actually worthy. This is the power of what bitachon actually is over here. And he explains the reason now to explain what you asked, right? Or what you said before. Because when you trust within Hashem that Hashem can help you with something, it means the source of who you are is you believe in the ultimate source of goodness. And because within my heart, I feel this love that I have towards God, that He can save, that He can do anything. Like I'm a child to Him and He's my father. So therefore, as a father, father always wants to do good for their child. You hope. Right, but a father always wants to inherently do good for their child, and that's why the relationship is about love, and that's why Hashem is going to save you. Now, there is an element called false hope, false bitachon. A person has themselves, they think, oh, I have trust in Hashem, I'm going to win that lottery. I thought I was going to win that car, right? I won something else, but it certainly wasn't the car, right? But how many people play the lottery with the intent to win? A lot of people play with the intent to win, even though we said this years before. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal said that when you play the lottery, it's not called putting in effort. It's like, you'd like to marry my daughter. What are you going to do for Parnassa? $2 a week. I'm getting this one. That's not called bitachon. That's not called anything. It's so far-fetched that you can't actually call it some level of effort. Though there was, I remember when we were at the Yarmak Shiva, they said there was a guy who won the lottery in L.A. A firm guy had a restaurant, I think it was. Was failing, then he won like a $6 million lottery. And then he made it, yeah, whatever it is. You just need to know for yourself, if you're going to do anything that's going to be in a public sphere, be careful. Because the ayin hara, the evil eye, is so profound, takes people down. People don't even know it. I'll tell you this. Tali mentioned this idea, the Torah tells Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. Hashem is your shadow means whatever you do, Hashem is going to give back to you. So which means you do something bad to somebody else, it'll happen back to you. Hashem is your shadow. So the Baal Shem Tov explains, and this is what Talia echoed before, just like the shadow does exactly what a person does, so too Hashem does based on what you do. And therefore, to the extent that you love Hashem and you feel it within your heart, this deep love for Hashem, and you feel it closest to Him, then Hashem is going to do the same thing to you. He's going to continue that closeness to you to ensure that you have this relationship that continues on. Again, this is irrespective of your religious observance level. Now, it would be a poor salesmanship for me to tell you that, by the way, keep doing what you're doing and don't change yourself and don't elevate yourself because don't worry, Hashem's going to take care of you. That is a poor sales thing because obviously I would love for people to keep more Torah and mitzvos and do things for the sake of Hashem. But nonetheless, in the world of bitachon, that is how it works. According to this approach, it's not about what you're doing. It's about your relationship. It's about how much you trust Hashem, how much you can get at Hashem. And if you can continue to build that, you will find a deep relationship. Now again, the relationship is obviously predicated, not just simply as a one-way relationship. A one-way relationship is, Hashem loves you, he's going to give me everything. Well, what are you doing for Hashem? Not much. But right now, I'm waiting for him to keep giving me. So your love for Hashem is not just going to be feeling good that he does things for you, but it's really going to have a deep, meaningful connection, which is why you'll want to do more. Because when Hashem does for you, you'll want to actually do more. So even if it's difficult for you to do more right now, nonetheless, when you feel Hashem is doing much for you, you'll actually want to be able to do more for Hashem. And therefore, Gam Bishah, so now he says like this, and this is related to Purim, one of the important Tehillims that you should be saying on Purim Day is Tehillim 22. It is said that Tehillim 22 is written by Esther herself. I think there's a minute to say it at least 8 times. Tehillim 22, Chaf Beis. In that Tehillim she says, 22, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani Hashem. My God, why have you left me? I called out to you and you don't answer. This is Esther calling out. She's about to go into the king and she's saying, what's going on over here? Like, why have you forsaken me? Hashem, I trust in you and all these things. I'm hoping for some salvation over here. So he says that even at a point when you cannot pray, and even at a point when you feel like God is not listening to your prayer and you feel deeply distant from Hashem, where you're calling out to Hashem and he's not answering you, there's another thing that you can do. And what is that? It's called the Koch of Bitachon. So many times we pray for things deeply with our heart. We're crying. We're asking Hashem, please help me. And Hashem says, I'm going to tell you that your prayers are being locked. And there are many times that your prayers may be locked out. We don't realize this, but there are times when there are spiritual blocks upon us called Makatrigim. Those spiritual blocks will oftentimes prevent your prayer from going. Now, important to note, that people don't know this, when you're davening in shul and minyan, and then someone starts talking during the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei, that actually creates a blockage to prayers being answered. Okay? And this is one of the reasons why we tell people, don't talk. Because when people are interrupting, it's considered a disgrace, and it's as if you're praying to the ceiling, and it's like just not going further than that.
And it affects everybody.
It affects everybody else as well.
Oh, no.
And it affects everybody else, which is why we tell people, we need to stop talking.
Get people out of the shul then.
We'll have you come.
to do it.
Give everybody like a red note, which means you make an announcement. If you get a red note, you have to leave.
All right, okay, yeah, that's a way.
It's a soccer game. Red card.
Throw it up right there, right?
Red light.
So we try to do it, like, I remember years ago, someone told me, you know what? We used to have a sign in the wall that says, it's forbidden to speak during prayer.
Where is it?
Right? I said, we're taking that sign down. Well, because it's just too harsh. I said, no, because someone's talking, I go. I'm pointing to the sign. I'm like, yeah, that made a lot of friends, right? So, like, you know, we try to get people to not talk.
What's more important, having friends or having your
friends? Having friends, right? But the point is that you need a minion, and if everyone's getting kicked out, then we just have a new minion outside. Right? So there is the element of recognizing that some people don't know. But it's also when people are sitting on their phones, they're doing different things, it's like it creates a disruption in prayer itself. So, but you should know that even though prayers may be limited, and there are times when your prayers are locked out, and sometimes you'll feel in your own prayer, you're davening to Hashem, and you feel like it's not going anywhere. Not that you're not saying the words, but you feel like it's being blocked, things are not coming to you. But there is something that can overpower that element of prayer, and that is bitachon. And he says that even in a scenario where I do not have the power to pray, it doesn't matter, bitachon, my trust and my love for Hashem can overpower prayer. This is actually a proof from the Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim is a commentary on Chumash, 1600s, also known as a Baal Mofes, many miracles happened. If you ever go to Israel, you go to Har HaMenuchos. No. Where is that one? I think it's Har HaMenuchos. I always forget which one it is. By the Arab Quarter, they have the Or HaChaim's grave. It's painted blue. We're not sure if that's the exact one. The Arabs attempted 3 different times to break through that cemetery and destroy the grave. And each time something bizarre happened to the Arab workers over there. Like one time the guy's going with the bulldozer, has a heart attack and dies on the spot, right? Many different things. The Or HaChaim is known. He's a famous commentary on Chumash, known as Baal Mofi. So when the Or HaChaim speaks, we listen. The Or HaChaim says that in Parshas B'Shalach, the Jewish people are standing at the sea. Hashem says to Moshe, he says, "Daber lama tetzakele, why are you crying out to me? Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to go." What do you mean? Why are you crying out to me? Who else am I supposed to cry out to? You're Hashem. You're supposed to give me everything. So the Or HaChaim explains, he says, you know what Hashem was actually telling Moshe? He says, at this point in their lives, due to their spiritual status, which is so low, their prayers aren't going to work. They don't have the capability of their prayers actually breaking through heaven right now. And therefore, the Midah of Din, judgment is upon them. There's no chance for them to actually have their prayers accepted because it's so far beyond to the level of where they actually are. And the only thing that will work for them is bitachon right now. Tell them they need to go forward. Show your trust within me, not your prayer. Show your trust within me. It's the turtle. Show your trust within me, and you will actually be able to go through. And that's exactly what happened over here. He told them, "Daber b'nei saviso." Tell them to go through. They're not going to pray now. Prayer is not going to actually have any effect. And that tells you that bitachon is more powerful than prayer. So there are going to be times in your life that prayer is ineffective. And in fact, your trust in Hashem and your love for Hashem is what's actually going to take you through. So therefore, he says, when it comes to bitachon, now we have to ask the obvious question. And that is, how much effort do you have to put in? When it comes to me, how much effort do you have to put in? Can I just say I trust Hashem entirely? Or do I actually have to put in effort? We've discussed in the past, there is a scale. There's a scale as to how much your bitachon is to the amount of effort you have to put in. If you have low bitachon, if you have low trust, you have to put in more effort. If you have a higher level of bitachon, then you don't have to put in that much effort into things. And it's been tried and tested. You have to be able to know for yourself to the extent of bitachon you have. Verify it with somebody else to figure out what that actually is. And it all goes according to the level of emunah and bitachon that a person has. If a person feels that he has total trust, he has to do almost nothing, either zero or almost nothing in order to get it through. If a person does not have that he has to put in more effort, like let's say you're looking for a job. So what do? You're looking for a job. Well, I got to go online. I got to do this. I got to call these headhunters, do all these things. So then obviously your level of bitachon is low. So you're going to have to push yourself to do it. You're going to have to hustle to get things done. But if you have a higher level of bitachon, it's actually not going to be needed for you. You won't need it. But that's going to have to be to the extent that you truly trust within Hashem. And you have to evaluate with somebody else what that experience actually is. And we'll skip that point as well. Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhinsk explains the following. Habotech b'leiv neman. And he says, parnasaso mizumenaso. A person has true trust within Hashem, his parnas is going to come to him. Shelo b'tzar, without any problems. Ukeshegam u kegeshem ha'olich b'loigye. It's like rain that falls and you did nothing for that rain. It's just going to come by itself. Only when you're lacking bitachon are you going to have to put something in. There's a famous story with the Noam Elimelech. And the famous story with the Noam Elimelech was that he was sitting at his breakfast table and he said, Hashem, please, I beg you, please provide me food. You're the only one who can provide me food. And just then the kitchen chef comes in, puts a plate down and gives him the food. He says, thank you so much, Hashem. And it's going day after day. To one day the chef was getting bothered and he said, well, he keeps davening to Hashem that Hashem is going to give him the food. I'm the one who gives him the food. It's not Hashem that gives me the food. And every day, day in and day out, I say, we'll see. I'm not going to prepare him any food tomorrow. We'll see what happens. That day, the Noam Elimelech goes on the streets and he's going somewhere. And he held himself in a very low regard. He looked very disheveled. And there was a businessman that was walking the streets and he had to get somewhere. He was in a rush. And he sees this man just like blocking the way he's walking. So he just goes and knocks him over. And he gets his business meeting. Later on, the people of the town say, oh, we want to take you to the great rabbi, Noam Elimelech. You get a blessing from him. And he goes there and he's white as a ghost. Oh my goodness, this is the one I knocked down. I can't believe it. I don't know what to do. He apologizes to him. So I have to do something. The next day he decides he's going to apologize by bringing a huge platter of food over to his house. And the chef is sitting there in the kitchen the next morning. And the Noam Melech says, Hashem, please provide me food. It's up to you. You're the only one that gives me food. And the chef says, ha, we'll see what happens. And there's a knock on the door. And they open the door and it's this guy bringing an entire platter of food. And the chef said, okay, I guess it's Hashem. It's always Hashem. That was the Noam Elimelech, that he had that tremendous trust in Hashem, that tremendous bitach in Hashem, that Hashem's going to provide. You think it's a chef, but really it's always Hashem that's going to do it. So the Noam Elimelech says that's the level it has to work with you, with your bitachon. You know this for yourselves. You've seen it all. Like you put in this much effort and you get this much results, right? Like try juicing an esrog. See how much liquid you get out of it. It's just like, it's not going to happen. You're putting in tremendous effort, and what's your results going to actually be? The way you trust Hashem, the result's going to come. It happens not just with money. It also happens with your children. It happens with many things. It's about developing the trust so Hashem can actually help you in these things. And therefore, he quotes from the Al-Shuch at the end, that in his shul, he gave a drasha in the shul one time, that a person has to have this tremendous trust in Hashem. And if you do, you do not have to do anything for Parnassah. Everyone was sitting listening to this. And he said, you just have to study Torah and Tefillah. You don't have to do anything. And there was one person that really took it to heart. Really took it to heart. And Hashem gave him some sort of windfall. Some chest of money showed up by his door somehow. And he found this treasure. And he had everything that he needed. And all the students said to him, like, how come he didn't get it? Well, I heard the same drasha. I heard the same story. How come he's the only one that got it? And he said, it only works to a person that has such pure emuna, that's so tmima upshuta, so whole and simple. And he was the only one that actually had that. That's a very high level of person to work on. But we can be somewhere in the middle of this entire experience. I told you we're going to talk about Mordechai, and that's the idea of Mordechai's bitachon ultimately is the one who transformed the entire Purim story. We know it's Esther, of course. Esther did everything. She went into the king. But it's the way Mordechai's approach that he had, the way he didn't bow down, the way he told Esther what's going to happen. He said, Shelegodol Avas Hashem, because of Mordechai's tremendous love that he had for Hashem. By the way, this is also in Nesivo Shalom. This is just on Purim. He says that because of the love that he had for Hashem, lo yitachem sheiniach l'Hashem is kol yitim. It would not be possible that Hashem would allow the Jews to be destroyed. This is the decree, and Mordechai said, it's not possible that's going to happen. And the question is going to simply be is, where the salvation is going to come from? Maybe it's Esther, maybe it's someone else. I'm not worried one iota what's going to be. and he says that when we said in the Tehillim of 22 over there, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani, if you remember last week, we said, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Vachanan. Sometimes we look at Hashem before we sin. Sometimes our relationship with Hashem is after we sin. A person needs to know, even after you sin, if you still have emuna and trust in Hashem, that Hashem loves you, and that you still want to get close to Hashem, He's not going to throw you away. He's going to continue that love for Hashem, and therefore, the salvation is going to come. Esther was the one who put forward this prayer. Esther was the one who said, even, and it happens to be the Medrash says that Esther was in a Beis Hatzlamim, she was in a house of idols when this all took place. And at the moment she walked into this house of idol worship, the divine presence left her. She didn't feel Hashem with her. And that's when she let out this prayer of Tehillim 22. And yet, nonetheless, she said, Hashem, I know you're there with me. And even in the darkest of places, even when you're so far removed from Hashem, you're still, Hashem, you're still my God. You're still my Father. You're still there. That ultimately is the essence of what Purim is about. It's to be able to see, no matter how far and forlorn we have become, Hashem is always there for us, and He reveals Himself to us. When you build your bitachon, you will see the revelation of Hashem within your life. And when that happens, you're actually going to see that closeness, and you'll see many things happen for the positive in your way. And this is something that we have to build on. So as we gear ourselves up to Purim, we have to recognize that that's our goal of Purim, to see the light of Hashem and to see the love of Hashem. And He's going to reveal Himself to us in different ways. In ways that we only get closer, and now we can say we're stopping.